Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas, whatever your wildest dreams. If you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator, one site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.
All right, thanks for the time. How are you?
Zach, how are you? 25 hours away from football, like you said, a little bit over 24 hours. Can't get any better than that.
Well, we're also counting down to see this Friday now deadline if Lamar Jackson's going to get a contract extension. This is just my gut feeling that it's not going to happen. Do you have a sense either way if the deal's likely or unlikely at this point?
You know, it's very interesting because I think everyone knows the situation by now that he's a quarterback entering the fifth year of his contract, and he's doing it without an agent. And based off, the thing that has to be understood here is that the Ravens are one of the best organizations in not having stuff leak whenever they do stuff. And when the other side doesn't have an agent, you wouldn't expect much to leak either from his side. The thing is, Lamar has given us some indications from his Twitter account, from his tweets, that it sounds like he wants to get a contract that would be in a similar structure to Deshaun Watson, where the guarantees are as close to being fully guaranteed like Deshaun did. The thing is, after these last couple of contracts that have come in with Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson most recently, where they are still the traditional quarterback contract, that probably hurts Lamar's chances of getting a type of contract like Deshaun Watson. And I think it's noteworthy to mention that when the Watson contract happened, their owner, Stephen Bisciotti, was the one owner who came out publicly and said that contract isn't a good contract. So if Lamar is really all in on trying to get that type of a structure where the raw dollars don't matter, but the guarantees matter more to him, I don't think Baltimore is going to go there. If that's the case, he'll be going into the year with this rookie contract and possibly a franchise tag come next year.
And that's the thing. I still think Lamar has all the leverage here. He's a unanimous MVP from a few years ago. And if he wanted to go down that road of waiting a few years, and hey, injuries could happen, but we saw Dak get hurt and then he got paid still a king's ransom, there would be one team, I would have to imagine, at least in the NFL, that would still be willing to go all in on a fully guaranteed contract a few years from now for Lamar, just because, you know it, if you don't have a quarterback, you do desperate things to go try to find one.
Right, absolutely. And it's the one thing here is Baltimore has kind of gone through this road once before with Joe Flacco, where they couldn't get a contract extension with him. He bet on himself, won a Super Bowl, the Super Bowl MVP, and then became the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So if they don't pay him now and Lamar goes off this year and has a spectacular year, a year where so many good players are coming back from injury and they somehow, you know, get to the playoffs, win a Super Bowl, you're right, all the leverage for sure will go to him. And by then, when you're already on the franchise tag, the leverage definitely starts shifting towards the player, like we've seen of Kirk Cousins, like we've seen of Dak Prescott. At that point, if he's still playing at the level that we know of Lamar Jackson, the leverage 100% goes towards him. I can tell you this much. Last year, a lot of agents told me they would not allow Lamar Jackson to step on the field without a new contract. He didn't do a deal. He ended up being right. Even though he got hurt, it wasn't a serious injury, and the quarterback market has exploded this offseason. So far, he's been right up until this point. But like you mentioned, the injury part, the security part, this is the 32nd overall pick in the draft. He hasn't made great money up until this year, where he's making $23 million in the fifth-year option. So it's a very fascinating situation. If it doesn't get done, I'm most curious to see if it becomes a bit of a distraction in Baltimore.
Ari Mayrov here with us, My Sports Update. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. Does a great job covering the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Who do you have winning the AFC North this year, Ari?
Yeah, it's definitely a very fun conversation to have, especially in that division, the AFC West as well. I'm in on Baltimore. I mean, I mentioned some of the things before. I mean, first of all, just all the players coming back from injury, whether it's the running back room, which was basically cleared out before the season started, to Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson coming back, Ronnie Stanley's coming back. So many high-level players are coming back. And on top of that, We just talked about Lamar's contract. If no deal gets done, I think he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder. But they also have a fourth-place schedule after finishing last in the division last year. So they get a game against Jacksonville, for example, because they were fourth place. So the little things like that, I feel like the fact that they've gotten so much healthier, we all know about John Harbaugh, we all know about what Lamar Jackson could do, all these players coming back, all the new player that they added this offseason as well, from a guy like Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton in the draft and Kyle Lindebaum at center. A lot of new faces coming in, a lot of returning faces coming in, and just the element of the schedule and the chip of the shoulder for Lamar if no deal gets done. I really like Baltimore, but, you know, as I mentioned, like that division with Cincinnati, we'll see how it all goes with them. Still love them. I would probably have them as a wild card team. So it's definitely a fun division to watch throughout this year.
How many teams out of the AFC West do you have making the postseason this year, Ari Mayroff?
I have two, and I've kind of been going back and forth on which two it would be. As of right now, I got the Chiefs, and I have the Chargers. And the reason I kind of go there is, first of all, just the two other teams with new head coaches. I'm always hesitant when there are new head coaches in there. But the thing with me is that the AFC is just so stacked, and especially that division, that I feel like these teams are going to be beating up on each other. And in particular with the Raiders, I'm really curious to see how that offensive line does. I feel like everyone loves talking about their weapons, and they really are great. The offensive line has an argument as being a bottom three offensive line in the NFL. I know Josh McDaniels has a good history of getting the ball out quickly with his quarterbacks, but I want to see how that all gels early on. Same thing with their secondary. I really want to see how that all does over there, because I think the back end is a bit shaky. And then in Denver, I just want to see how it all does. I mean, I'm fascinated by a new quarterback, a rookie head coach, all these new pieces as well with that team. I just want to see it before I commit to it, if that makes sense. So I like the two teams that have been there, with the Chiefs, obviously. I'm not that worried with Tyreek Hill no longer there. And the Chargers, Brandon Staley basically inherited a defense last year. This offseason, he basically brought a lot of guys that he wants in his defense, from J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, Sebastian Joseph Day, and they added a lot of depth pieces as well in case they do have injuries. So I really like them this year.
Ari Mayroff here with us. What do you like about Mike McDaniel, if you do so? Because I know that a lot of media members get great access to him. He's very fun with the media. I'm just wondering what he's going to be like as an NFL head coach. Give me a little thought or two about the Dolphins.
Yeah, he's a very unique guy. I actually got to talk to him a little bit at the NFL owners meeting. He's a very fun and energetic type of person. I'm just curious to see how it does in a locker room, especially if they somehow get off to a bad start. I want to see how all that does, because up until now, Mike McDaniel was a guy who followed Kyle Shanahan every stop that he made, and he basically was the guy locked in his room drawing up plays, and Kyle Shanahan trusted him. Now you're the guy who's in front of the locker room talking to everyone, and you are essentially the leader. So I want to see how all that does. The thing that I will say is that Kyle Shanahan will tell you this, he is a genius when it comes to offensive play calling. And when you see the Miami offense, first of all, obviously it starts with Tua, but I do like the fact that the first year where they are committing to him. When it was his rookie year, there was the Ryan Fitzpatrick element. The second year was Deshaun Watson element. This year, it's his team. And you had all these pieces where there are so many speedy players that I feel like, even if you think that Tua has some deficiencies, when you have all these type of players around him, I feel like Mike McDaniel could draw up so many different type of plays to get the ball into their hands and make magic happen. So early on this season, the first two or three weeks, I want to see if they're able to do that with all these guys, from Hill to Waddle to Mostert to Edmonds. So many guys who get the ball in their hands and let them do the work. And I'll just mention one more thing with that team. The offensive line has been so bad for so many years. Adding a guy like Teron Armstead, who Sean Payton will tell you is a player and a coach, essentially, built in one. He could basically lead that entire offensive line room. They added Connor Williams as well. They have Robert Hunt, who's this third-year guard who has been raving about what Teron Armstead has brought to that team. So I think if the offensive line is better in front of Tua, I think that'll do wonders for him.
All right, Mayroff, how do you see the game playing out tomorrow night with maybe the two best teams in football kicking off the season, the Bills and the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really had a good answer to this one. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating game where you have the Super Bowl chance versus it feels like what everyone is picking to win the Super Bowl this year. I've never seen just so many people heavy on Buffalo the way they are right now. I saw an image this morning of all the entire NFL Network crew basically picking them to make the Super Bowl and win it. So it's a fascinating situation. I'm just looking right now at the Buffalo secondary, where Tre'Davious White is not playing tomorrow. He's out for at least the first 4 weeks of the year. That secondary is a bit shaky. You have Pierre Ilem, the first-round pick. You have Dante Jackson, who is a veteran there. I just want to see how they do against guys like a Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, who I think is bound for a big year there with the Rams. That's the one matchup I'm keeping a very close eye on, because I feel like everyone's talking about Buffalo and they're very high on them, and rightfully so. But I want to see how their secondary does tomorrow, because if there's one thing that they didn't really truly address when they knew that Tre'Davious White was going to miss the start of the year, is the secondary. I know they have a first-round pick, but based off some of the reports out of the Buffalo media, it doesn't sound like he has in any way shined, to say the least, or that he looks like an immediate starter. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on that. In terms of what's going to happen, I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Rams finding a way to win this one. It's going to be a close game, a great game, but I always tend to go with the home team their first game back after winning the Super Bowl.
And I'm surprised they were an underdog as well. I know Buffalo's supposed to be a great team. I made plus the 2.5 points with the Rams. I was on a similar line of thinking as you. Ari Mayroff here with us for a few more moments. So we know the three best teams in the NFC, in my opinion, I think it's a lot of people's opinion, L.A., Tampa, and the Packers. Some people getting concerned about Brady missing 11 days in training camp. I'm not. Rodgers, how is he going to do without Davante Adams? Are there genuine concerns for Tampa and Green Bay? You're not just really buying into a lot of what the narrative has been over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you with the Tom Brady missing 11 days. I mean, nowadays with training camps, a lot of these coaches are giving guys who are 25, 29 to 29 years old basically do 2 days of training camp and take a day off. It ends up combining to 11 days at the end of the day. Tom Brady is 45 years old. I mean, the fact that he's back in Tampa Bay right now after retiring and after the Miami stuff, he should just be thankful for that and that he's there for week one. I am a bit concerned with the offensive line, though. Three new faces in the interior. Shaq Mason, I think, will be fine, but the other two names, Robert Hainsey at center, and then Luke Getteke, a rookie guard who they drafted in the second round, who will be starting at left guard. We know how important the interior of the offensive line is for Tom Brady, someone who isn't really mobile. I want to see how that really does, because I think it had been talked about a lot, but Ryan Jensen has a good argument as one of the best centers in all of football, if not the best center. And the first call that Tom Brady made when he unretired was to bring back Ryan Jensen, who was scheduled to be a free agent, who many people thought would leave if Brady was not there. Now he's not there because of injuries. So I think that is a massive and a major loss. They're holding out hope they could possibly return at the end of the year, but it's probably one of the biggest injuries we've had through this entire camp season. But as for the rest of the teams, I think, like the Packers you mentioned, like, I think they're lucky they're not in the AFC is what I would say. Because if they were there, I think I would have concerns. But the NFC is just so top-loaded, and there's a bunch of I-don't-knows about all these other teams that I'm fine with Green Bay, and we'll see how the receivers do. What I would keep an eye on is if they don't start off the year well with their receivers, where there are some struggles, where Aaron might be frustrated. I would remind people that last year, Odell Beckham Jr., when he became a free agent, the two teams that he were considering were the Rams and the Packers. He chose the Rams. That was the right decision. He won a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, he had a torn ACL. But it looks like he's not going to sign before the season. He's going to let things play out. He'll continue to recover. And then I'll see which options come to him. And if the Packer receiver group isn't that great, would he consider signing there, going to Green Bay, which he thought of doing last year, becoming the main guy for Aaron Rodgers, and possibly trying to win another Super Bowl this time with a different team? So I'll just keep an eye on what Odell does, because it sounds like he didn't let the options come to him, let the season start, and see who really needs me.
It's a great point that you bring up. Before we let you run, as we've been discussing, if you look at the top four teams in the NFC, you got to have Tampa, you got to have Green Bay, you got to have LA somewhere on that list. Who's the fourth best team then, or in that top four conversation in the NFC once we get through those three?
Yeah, I know this team has been getting a lot of hype, but I truly am buying into it. I think Philadelphia will be pretty good this year. I know that last year, when they made the playoffs, if you look back at that 7-game win streak they had, they beat a lot of just really bad teams. So I just look at what they did this offseason and what Howie Roseman has been able to do really since the Carson Wentz mess, when everyone thought that he was done, when Doug Peterson got fired, everyone was like, get rid of Howie. The way he has turned around that ship has been incredible to watch. And then when you see all the additions they made this offseason, the way they've committed to Jalen Hurts and just building, putting around pieces around him, whether it's an A.J. Brown, whether it's obviously on the defensive side with guys like Hassan Reddick. Last week they traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Jordan Davis in the draft, N'Kobe Dean, who many people thought there was some injury concern. It sounds like he'll be good to go come week one. It's a team that made so many additions. I didn't even mention James Bradberry as well. So many additions to the weaknesses they had going into this offseason. And when you look at the NFC East, you have Washington there. You have the Giants in there. I think you can make a very strong argument. Dallas is taking a bit of a step back with all their moves. Philadelphia has an opportunity here to really thrive this year. It all comes down to Jalen Hurts. We'll see if he is the answer at quarterback, because, again, Philadelphia has two first-round picks come next year. But when you look at all the things they've done, still one of the better offensive lines in the league, they've built a really good team around him, and it feels like if they're able to make everything gel, and with all these new players, they could be a team that really could make noise in the NFC, again, looking at all what they've done this offseason. So I'm really intrigued by Philadelphia.
Last thing I'll ask you, is there a team or two that you want to talk about that you think aren't getting enough buzz nationally and maybe you think are going to surprise some people this year?
Surprise people? So I don't know about like making the playoffs. We talked about how stacked the AFC is, but I really want to see how the Jaguars do this season. Again, not a playoff team or anything, but last year was just such a disaster with Urban Meyer. I don't think it even should count for Trevor Lawrence. Now you have a head coach who's been there, done that, in Doug Peterson. They also made a lot of additions this offseason. Travis Etienne comes back. They added a bunch of receivers. They added Brandon Scherff on the offensive line. Trevon Walker might be the least talked about number one overall pick since like Eric Fisher. This is a team that I think could be at least competitive in games, make games hard on other teams, and it's no longer an easy win whenever you face Jacksonville. I mean, it was just so, so bad last year. Listen to all the players whenever they have press conferences. I think today Trevor Lawrence spoke and said the culture in here has flipped. I mean, it's like unfair to even consider last year a real year for them after the mess and the toxic environment that Urban Meyer brought in. So now that you have Doug Peterson again, who has been there, has won a Super Bowl as a former quarterback, could help mold Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback we all thought he would be, when we all called him a generational talent when he was coming in. I want to see the Jaguars this year. I want to see if they're able to take that next step and at least get to that 6, 7, maybe 8-win type of team where they're able to be competitive in games and just be that annoying team and eventually maybe become a bit more of a destination for other players eventually, like we saw with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati this offseason.
He is one of the best NFL accounts on Twitter, at MySportsUpdate. Make sure you go follow him. Does a great job covering the NFL for Pro Football Focus. That's Ari Mayrov. Ari, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jack. All the best.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas. Whatever your wildest dreams, if you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator, one site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.